Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. And today's Life Talk Show is the first one in 2014. Happy New Year from all of us here at the Life Talk Show. Nikki and Diana and I are here, and in a moment we'll be joined by one of our favorite people in the whole world. We're so excited. Lionel Ketchian, the founder of the Happiness Clubs, is going to be joining us today, and we'll be talking about finding your path in the new year. Before that, I want to start with gratitude. We have a brand new exclusive sponsor of the Life Talk Show. It's Gabriel Tax and Accounting Services. They're a full-service accounting firm, and they're in Connecticut. They've got a whole bunch of stuff, a broad range of services for business owners and executives, independent professionals. They are affordable, as Nikki can attest, and experienced and friendly. And you can get in touch with them. The easiest way probably is just going to GabrielTax.com. They're at 1297 Park Avenue in Bridgeport. Tax season. Don't want to talk about it on January 4th, but it's just around the corner.
April
it's time
5th.
To
yes.
start.
You know, before you know it.
Just start getting your stuff together. And if you don't want the stress of doing it yourself, then call them because they are awesome. So thank you so much for sponsoring the Life Talk
Show.
Thank
you.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting Services, LLC. So welcome, ladies, 2014, January the 4th.
Yes.
Wow. Welcome. We have begun. So what we chose for today's topic is we didn't want to talk about resolutions. That's just like a disaster.
Overdone? Is that the word? Overdone?
Overdone is the
overdone.
Best way to put
you know,
it.
I don't know. Resolutions to me, I haven't made them for several years. What I kind of like to do sometimes is just look back at 2013 and go, wow, I did all that? Because it makes you realize that sometimes even without making plans, you can get some pretty awesome stuff done. And that always brings me into the new year with some confidence. With that said, I've made some plans, business plans, and things to look forward to, and New Year's focus, kind of. So how about you? How do you handle the new year in terms of resolutions?
Well, I'm so there with you with the whole resolution and, you know, all of the self-help and you know, inspirational jargon.
Yeah, that's
and
what just, we're about, so.
Well, yes, but.
But the first one is the diet.
Yeah,
no?
But when it comes, yeah. Right. But when it comes to New Year's resolutions, you know, you're always setting yourself up for failure. When you pick one thing that you want to work on and you fail, you're set up to, I don't know how many I've failed at. In my mm-hmm. years. So I've chosen to take a different approach because the new year, it is a new year, so we can start over because we can. And I've decided to choose one word that's my personal path for the year. And I went back and forth with a lot of different words. What is that one word going to be?
Wow. You know, now it's you're building the suspense.
Well, it's simple because we've talked about it many times on the show, but it's something that I really struggle with.
The word
guiltless came up, but that's kind of not, okay. you know, because I'm always feeling guilty about everything.
Yeah.
But really what I struggle with probably on a regular basis is present, being present. And I know we've talked about this.
Yeah, but Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, over and over again.
The now,
but
the power of now.
It's very, very challenging for me in particular to be present. And so, yes, so that's my word.
Love it.
That's,
being present.
I love
being here now.
So that's my personal path to happiness, Mr. Lionel,
okay.
This year.
Okay. He's coming in.
Okay. Good. Yeah,
Nikki, join
us. How about you?
I love that. I really love that. I would say do not say I'm going to be on a diet or I'm exercise. Just say I'm going to do a walk and I'm going to change my way of eating healthier. I'm going to just be an ongoing, get new habits.
Good habits, right.
Good habits, but start kind of conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, people usually start the new year high and they end up low.
Don't set yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
Right. So it's something like 7%, because the statistics are all over the place. And granted, you go to the supermarket this week and you look at the magazines, they will all have ads, you know, that shouting on the cover, mm-hmm. flat abs, and, you know, a
better how lovemaking life, yes. Right. And, you know, cook better, lose weight. And
everything
every
that
January,
makes us all feel terrible.
Yeah, it's yeah. all the same. So I think you're right, something doable, something. My husband once made a New Year's plan to be outdoors 10 minutes a day no matter what. You know, unless the weather was ridiculous. Right. And that really helped him. It was the simplest thing.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, just 10 minutes, like when he worked in an office, he would take a 10-minute walk during lunch. That is doable. And that was something he was able to stick to. And some days it went to an hour, but 10 minutes was the minimum. Right. So that's terrific stuff.
And did he do that yesterday in the
he did because he had somebody had a
zero temps.
Somebody had a shovel to
Warren
drive.
Right. Connecticut, by the way,
it wasn't going to be me. I don't have that plan.
I just want to say we're in Connecticut. For some people, they're sitting in Florida listening to us, or in California, or some nice weather or climate. Yeah. We're in Connecticut.
And we've been blessed with freezing temperatures.
Yes, yeah, we had some, exactly.
And of course, I had a couple of people come to my house yesterday to interview me about my book. And I said, it's going to be snowing. They're like, we're from Minnesota, please. Yeah. Don't even. Right, right. We do this all the time. They were not worried about it. But so that's it. You know, the new year is it's just a time for reflection. That's how I think of it. It's a time for reflection.
Below.
So it's one below
it's
zero.
Below
now.
One below.
All right. But we're inside and it's about 95 degrees in here. So we're good.
Oh, wow.
So wherever you are, dear listener, it's 2014. I hope
Congrats.
It's a wonderful year for
All
you.
The best.
Think of a word.
And, Happy
you
New
know,
Year.
Don't make yourself crazy. Just know that anything is possible. Here's my word for the year.
Okay.
I just thought of it.
Okay.
Possibility. That's
love
one
it.
Of my favorite words.
I love
words.
That word.
Possibility.
Very good word.
Yay. Embrace possibility.
Embrace possibility.
So with that.
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing.
One last thing?
One last thing before Never. We go on to the next segment, that when I was younger, to put things in perspective, people used to wish me happy and healthy New Year. And I'm like, that's boring. Why should be healthy? I'm healthy.
Well,
and
you
now
take it for granted
I always happy. Say happy and healthy New Year because I'm getting older and I know I appreciate my health, well-being, and I feel it's important to wish people happy and healthy New
All
Year.
All right, then. Happy and healthy New Year. Which brings us to our wonderful guest. Now, if any of you have heard our pilot show for the Life Talk Show, we were originally thinking of, we had five wonderful friends, and we wanted to create this show, and we have had one of those five on the show before. We had Katayun on speaking about, I would say critical thinking.
Yes.
And now our very special guest will be talking with us about finding your path in the new year. Lionel is, you know what, I'm just going to bring you on. He's sitting here. You know.
He's amazing.
We are so happy to have our dear friend.
Honored to have Lionel with
I
us
have
today.
A little book that I wasn't aware of till this moment called Food for Thought, and I had no idea that your middle name was Richmond. Do you still use that?
Sometimes,
but it's on
Next
the book. Lionel Richmond Ketchian, and he is the founder of the Happiness Club. That's how I met you,
yes.
Coming to to a Happiness Club meeting, and right here in Fairfield, Connecticut. This thing, I guess we have to start with talking a bit about the Happiness Club and how it has grown from a class you taught on the university level to a worldwide movement. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about paths and the new year, and welcome.
Sure, thank you very
much. Welcome,
Lionel. It's great to be here with great friends, and this is just really special for me. It cuts the cold weather. I feel like I am, you know, in shorts at the beach with, in Florida when I'm here with you. And
is it our personalities or the fact that the studio is about like 92?
Well, you know, I have to think of it. Yes, that's.
I like to think it's our charming personalities.
It's the bikinis we're wearing.
My car temp, and I took a picture of it this morning. My car temperature read -1.
Wow.
So I found that to be intriguing.
And do you want to know? Last night, Lionel, I took a temperature. Coming home from a 40th birthday party, two on the card, -7.
Wow.
-7.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been feeding the birds because it's, I don't know how they do it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But, the Happiness Club has been a great adventure. I guess it actually started with probably that book. You know, I wrote that book, Food for Thought, in 1989.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the very next year in 1990, when you start thinking about certain things, like we're doing on the air now,
it's
amazing, but you start to assemble the very thoughts that you think are out there, and they start to cling to you. So I had thoughts, that book was really about wanting to be happy, happiness is a decision. And by the way, not to toot my own horn, but that book was endorsed by a great many people, some of whom were Dr. Bernie Siegel, and actually Dr. Norman Vincent Peale endorsed that book, which I'm really proud of.
You know, I just wanted to have a parenthesis here that the book is actually in a can.
It used to be. I'm not marketing it that way anymore.
In a can, and then you have to
open it.
And it's food for thought,
right.
Kind of like symbolic, but I love that.
And it's about 2 inches by 3 inches. And, you know, it's like if you were to, you know, that game where you open the Bible or something and you just put your finger somewhere. So what I came upside down.
Yeah, it works like that. It works like that.
So in repression, you don't look at your fear. In expression, you verbalize or act out your fear. So in love elation.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You elevate your love and go beyond the fear. So that's just a random thought from that book.
Isn't that interesting? Now we really
got my favorite phrase.
So we'll have to go back to the Happiness Club, because when you guys were all talking about what you're contemplating, thinking about your path, I was sitting here, of course, thinking similar things. And although there's probably many for me, and certainly happiness is a path for me, but it's been a path,
you know.
So you start looking around for tributaries to this path. And my latest one is centuries old, but it's love. And the love I'm talking about is almost hard to verbalize, because I'm trying to understand in understanding love more and using it as a strategy and a tool in my own life. And let's face it, I'm a guy. So I'm not talking about romantic love or falling in love. I'm talking about the love that all poets and mystics have talked about. And like, what the heck are they talking about? What is so great about what you think you've got? And one of the ways I found love to become a tool for me and a strategy is that, you know how sometimes people can annoy us? Not that anybody in our life ever cuts us off on the highway or anything like that.
Never.
Well, here's the thing. Love can actually work, because when you give up criticizing, when you give up getting angry, when you give up getting, some people call it being sensitive or, you know, when you give that up, what you're really giving up when you deal with the kind of love I'm trying to work in my life is you're giving up reaction to everything. So you're no longer reacting to anything, and you're your own person.
So you're more accepting. I'm free to love.
Yeah. I'm free to love.
Mm-hmm.
And in being free to love, I get freedom. You know, so I could say to each of you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and mean it. But I'm rising in love together. I'm feeling something. And, the unconditional aspect of it is so important, because then I know I can continue to generate that and not decide, you know, you said something to me during the show and I didn't take it the right. I don't think you meant it the right way. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden I'm getting bent out of shape. And where did the love go?
Right.
And so
free to love.
I'm
love
reacting
that.
To something negative, and it owns me. Why live like that? I'm getting too old to be run by everybody else and everything else.
Right.
I have to handle life as it comes along, and it could be brutal. It could be 1 degree below zero some mornings. That's just life. That's a path that I'm exploring. I just wanted to share that.
So, and I think we can speak from the three of us that we love you too, Lionel.
I love what he mentioned about free to love.
So, you know, before we start sounding like a sermon, which we're not, and I don't want to, you know, let's get a little more specific, because I love that. But I think that, you know, I always learn better from stories.
Okay.
And I love the concept, and
I
think concepts are great. But let's get a little, you know, down to it. And speaking of what you were mentioning about faith and life sometimes hands us challenges, and of course it wouldn't be life if it didn't. I just want to mention that our show next week, we're very excited. We're going to be continuing in the New Year's theme, and that show is called Bouncing Back Boulder.
Wow.
And it's about reinvention and resilience and just reaching, going down your path, if that's your path, going down no matter what. And our guest will be Dr. Susan O'Malley, who speaks about, her presentation is From Dropout to Doctor, RX for Success. So she talks about her, many times she's had to reinvent herself, but how she reached her dream of becoming a doctor. So join us next week at the same time for Bouncing Back Boulder.
Can't wait for that show.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah. So in the meantime, Lionel, we're going to take a short break and talk a little bit about our wonderful new exclusive sponsor. When we come back, if you could just recap for us, we know the story, but the listener may not, recap your story about how that your happiness choice happened, how the Happiness Club began, what it has become, and where you are now, because that was years ago. And, you know, thinking about your path for the new year, free to love, what does that mean? And what has it meant in the past to not feel free to love? So we know how to compare that. So we'll do some thinking. And again, let's hear from our sponsor, Gabriel Tax and Accounting.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting and Computer Payroll Services, LLC, in business in Bridgeport for over 65 years, are proud sponsors of the Life Talk Show. Bookkeeping, payroll, tax planning, and tax preparation for all business sizes. Personal taxes, too. Come into 1297 Park Avenue for rates lower than any storefront. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Call Gabriel Tax Accounting today at 203-367-7731 for an appointment or visit GabrielTax.com.
And this is the Life Talk Show, January 4th, 2014. We wish you a happy and healthy new year. It's Randy Kaye, Nikki Tombolides, Diana Hall, and our guest, Lionel Ketchian. We're talking about finding your path in the new year. Lionel is the founder of the Happiness Club, and you have a book coming out soon. I have one that came out in 1989, you said?
Yes.
And another one that you are writing that you'll let us know when that's published as well. Can you tell us about the book later? All right,
okay.
Or now. I don't
okay.
care.
No, that's fine.
We're
yeah.
doing that. And so tell us a little bit, what you know, people are going, Happiness Club, what is that?
Yeah.
How did that come to be? What was your choice to happiness, and how did it lead into the movement that you're the head of now, really?
Well, you know, maybe I was fortunate. I did a lot of personal work.
The happiness guru.
Well, it was pretty simple, actually. I was doing a lot of reading and narrowed down the fact that what was important to me was happiness. Mm-hmm. I discovered that. And then the next thing I knew, I was experiencing it. And it was a Christmas Eve, 1990, around 5 o'clock, December 24th.
Wow, I can't believe the way you remember it. After the book?
Oh, after the book, yeah.
Huh.
So I think the book, you know, so I wrote the book for myself. Look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found that, I knew
it was prepping you for what was coming.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew I had something. So I didn't let go of it. I worked all of the details. I would work out the details. In other words, okay, I'm happy, but life is presenting problems to me. Like,
right.
How do you deal with, how do you juggle that?
Yeah.
Then I began to realize that I could use my happiness to, in effect, deal with my problems even better.
Okay.
So not only did I not give up my happiness, but I needed to keep my happiness and use it as a tool and a strategy so that I would problem solve. It was because I could just tell you in 1 second and you'll understand and you'll agree that if you have a problem, if you're facing one in your life, and we all do every
day,
right?
Absolutely.
Adversity, challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Which way are you better off? Being unhappy, depressed, sad, you know, or being normal, relaxed, free flowing and peaceful in your head.
So don't you think, Lionel, that that's a conscious choice,
it
has to be a conscious choice.
It is, and since then, you know,
tell us a bit, like, what was your life like before you made the happiness choice?
Well,
and what was different after you made the happiness choice?
Everybody wants to know if I was going to run off a cliff or something like that, you know, like, but it wasn't like that. It was one where I was getting better all the time, and actually I had gotten my life to a really great state. But believe it or not, even though it was practically perfect in so many ways, being happy, if it was only the 1% that I needed, that was like a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Some the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Some things you go for, you say, was it really worth it? This was worth it.
Sure.
This was worth it.
More than the icing on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. And
the cake.
And you know, another thing that's, I think one of the more important things that I've understood about this is that, well, first of all, I've got to say, I happen to discover that I'm in a, the Oxford Dictionary of American Quotes, and they have me under happiness, and they have my quote out of the book, Food for Thought, called Happiness is a Decision. It's actually on the first page.
Okay.
And they also quote me in a New York Times
article.
Well, thank you. So, so it was nice to be use that quote.
In a dictionary,
but that's an important quote because
happiness is a decision.
That decision, here's what that does actually. When we have a problem, you know, we get unhappy because we have a problem.
Stressed.
And if you think of the problem as your left hand, and if you, you know, if you want to visualize holding your left hand out, that's bad that you have a problem. That's what we tell ourselves. And we can work ourselves up to the point where we're unhappy. Mm-hmm. We have the problem.
Right.
So if unhappiness is your right hand and you put it over the problem, now you don't see the problem anymore.
Sure.
You see your unhappiness. And when you look at what you think you're looking at as your problem, what you're really seeing is your unhappiness. You don't even see the problem anymore. So how are you going to deal? So if nothing else, why would you create two problems when you only have to take care of one?
Right.
So I figured out I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm going to use this happiness to deal with the problem rather than make myself carry around two.
Right. And it's an, what it, I think of it, I agree with you. It, as another layer. And it's true in terms of happiness. It's also true in terms of communication with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished reading Silver Linings Playbook, which the movie was great, but I like to read the book too and see what the character's thinking because
sure.
you can't have that. And the main character, Pat Peoples, is working on what he learned in the mental institution.
Uh-huh.
And it, this theme keeps coming up. I'm trying to be kind instead of right. I'm working on being kind instead
right.
of right.
That is
and
so
he
powerful.
Realizes that that was something that broke up his marriage because when we want to be right, we sacrifice so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, being right is the you know, the layer over the problem. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been in an argument with
yeah.
anybody where eventually you just want to prove you're right, you forget what the problem
sure.
was and you never solve it. So with happiness,
yeah.
it's also, it's and this movement is not new. This movement has been around since Aristotle and before.
Yes.
Man searching for mm-hmm. the meaning of life, man searching for happiness. That's where religion comes from. That's where, you know, we're all always trying to figure out our path for the new year, whether that year is 1014 or 2014. So it's in that journey that it's the journey itself that where we mm-hmm. find mm-hmm. The lessons. And there's no nirvana that we get to on this earth that I know of, but in trying to get there, there's
yes.
that. So mm-hmm. if something happens, to look at your reaction to it as another layer of decision making on top of that problem itself.
And
so when you choose happiness, you choose
yes.
to cover it with a layer that will help you, as you say, cope with it,
right.
rather than
and deal with it,
deal
right.
with
rather
it.
Than cover it.
And yeah. this is probably so basic, and we've heard this, but it's just making me think when we're talking about wanting to be right, and you know, in either a happy,
the Greeks written the book on that,
right? You know, and either you know, you can be in a happy marriage or an unhappy marriage, or a happy relationship or an unhappy relationship, depending on whether you choose to look at the other person and find the things that are wrong with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that glass half empty, instead of looking at the glass half, or looking at the things that they are, you know, that are right about
mm-hmm.
them, you know, I think, you know, that's another part of it, you know,
yeah.
being
oh yeah,
being right,
the ego, the me being right.
Right.
You know, Nikki, you're all 100% right. In fact, as you're
thank
talking,
you. We
as
like
you're
that.
Not that you need me to validate you, but
you're
you know,
right. We're right.
Well, yeah, we do love to be right. But you know, I realize one of the things I've uncovered in learning more about this love, you know, using love as a tool, is
right.
I had to park being right. I had to give that up because you can't really love and want to be right. It's not going to work. In fact, the Course in Miracles talks about you could be happy or you could be right, but you really can't be both. And it doesn't matter if you're right or not, but if you impose your rightness on others, then you're really practicing an ego habit
absolutely.
Rather than a real anything else.
Right.
And that's why love is freeing. Because, you know, we think we're letting somebody else off the hook by not pushing it, by forgiving, letting go.
Mm-hmm.
We're letting ourselves off the
sure.
hook. We're out of prison. We're not bottling ourselves up.
Right.
So if you think of and this is a question for everybody, really, but I'm going to present it to you, Lionel, first. So if you think of your path for the new year, it's to continue down this path, but I'd like to ask you again, you know, just to, first of all, in case somebody doesn't know what the Course of Miracles is, let's explain that. Tell us about the Happiness Club movement and where it is now, and then your particular path for this year, Free to Love, what does that mean specifically for you?
Okay,
so
well,
question one, what's the Course of Miracles?
Well, the Course of Miracles is a book that was written. It was actually supposedly channeled. And it's really very interesting. It's spiritual in nature, and it's really about oneness and love and happiness as well. But it's really giving up our ego, primarily. That's what the book is about.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've heard of it, as others might not have. And tell us about the happiness. I mean, it grew from, I understand, a course in happiness that you taught, and they didn't want it to end.
Well, that's right. I was teaching a course on happiness at Sacred Heart University. The class, the first very first class I gave, didn't want to end. And they said, this is cool. And I said, great. And we met and we continued to meet once a month at the Fairfield Public Library. So these meetings we have in Fairfield continue. I think the next one's the third Thursday of this month on the 23rd.
Yeah. And how many happiness clubs now
around the world? 103 around the world.
Wow.
So it's been great. And I've never really done anything to encourage that growth. People caught on to it. In fact, I
you
talk
have a
to
packet,
people
no?
all the time.
If somebody wants to open a happiness club,
well, there's something online. You could fill it out, you know, a little questionnaire if you want. It gets you to
understand yourself.
So you're happinessclub.com? Yes,
happinessclub.com.
Right.
Okay.
And it's free. All the meetings are free.
I just want to say free love and free happiness. It's free. We give it out free.
So this is really, I think happiness is an extremely important benefit that we can all really. And, you know, the other aspect that I found was a very important aspect of happiness that I uncovered, and I feel this is true. You know, we have to understand ourselves and others, that when you're happy, you've empowered yourself, and people are less inclined to get under your skin and for you to, because when you get upset with others, which is an aspect of love as well, what you're really doing is you're giving them your power, and then you become unhappy.
Right.
So like, and then you blame them for your unhappiness when, why did you give them your power in the first place?
And don't, you know, and I always say that people that are that way are just generally unhappy with themselves. So, you know, so is it, you know, is that it, you're unhappy with yourself and then you, so you allow other people to get under your skin and that makes you unhappy, you know, is it, where does it begin?
Well, I think everything could be a rationalization.
I think you can be in control by deciding, making a decision, as you said on the top of the hour, make a decision to be happy. You're in control of your emotions and your behavior.
Right.
Nikki, that's it. Because the other big thing I learned, and, you know, I was in business, so I was a businessman, you know, with spiritual values and trying to understand life, you know, a regular person with kids and a family, married 45 years, a business, a whole bit, right? Cat, a dog at one time, everything, you know. Right. So here's the thing. The thing is,
That
giving up control is another liberating factor. You know, we really want to control things so that we can be happy and feel protected, when in actuality, we probably can't control anything. And in giving up control, we actually gain control. Because
we can control our reaction sometimes.
That's it. And if you manage yourself right, you're not reacting like you would normally do. So we get ourselves into trouble, and then we have to try to take it out on other people because we don't want to be wrong.
Right. That's right. And who really wants to be wrong?
Nobody.
So I have an honesty question. You know, because you're the happiness guru, you're the happiness guy, but do you sometimes, you know, slip and have to remind yourself of these things? Or is this like constant? You're like always perfect with your happiness? Because I have to say I'm not. You know, it's what I strive to be, and I think in the striving, my life is better. Somebody met me at a party and said, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, how old, because I'm 61. And they're like, you're 61? I can't believe it. I said, well, thank you. You know, that means I'm married to the idea that I must look younger than I am, which shouldn't make me happy either, but it still made me happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I said, you know, and what slipped out of my mouth was, well, you know, it's like a sense of humor and open arms. That's pretty much my secret to life.
Right.
Sense of humor and open arms. You know, I embrace people. I embrace my stepchildren and their children and people who've done me wrong. I still embrace them, but I may not choose to trust them again. But that's it. Keep your sense of humor and keep your arms and your heart open.
Yeah,
and
that's
that
a great
leaves you
one.
Free to love.
Keep
it's very
arms
simple.
And your heart open.
But I also think, and you asked Lionel, do you live this constantly? But I also think that we have to allow ourselves or give ourselves a break because we're human. I mean, there's going to be times you're not going to embrace somebody
Absolutely.
And you're not so funny, you know?
Exactly.
It's okay. You're human.
And that's
you're
the
not
thing.
Happy
like, there
sometimes.
Are,
it's okay.
Exactly. Like, there are times when there's I feel resentment building, and I have to really, first of all, recognize it's there and go, oh, wait a minute, Randy. Ooh, we're not being very forgiving right now, are we?
Yeah.
But it...
It's awareness and recognizing
I love, and I want to say this because it reminds me when Randy one time said, I don't know if it was on the show or, you know, because we're all friends, and she said, it's okay to have a pity party, but don't have it for too long.
Yeah. Right.
I love that.
I like pity parties.
Because it's so near life.
Yeah.
It hits life, but she's like, don't carry on for too long.
Right.
I have like a deadline, you know, say, okay, I'm going to feel pity and sorry for myself for 2 weeks. And then
2 weeks. No, 2 minutes.
No, two minutes. Whatever I'm saying.
Depends on the circumstance.
Yes.
Right.
You don't, if you're like telephone breaks, you can be annoyed for a little bit and then fix it.
But I like
you know,
that.
If someone you love dies, that's not a 2 minute pity party.
No, right.
You know,
absolutely
so
not.
So there's going to be moments in grief when the grief revisits you and you can't fight it. You have to, or you say, okay, you know, that's really, I'm really sad. And then eventually you pull yourself back.
Yeah, but
up,
I also like what Lionel said because going into the same vein of Randy saying, okay, have a pity party if you have to. And then Lionel's like, don't cover it. If you cover something, you're making it double the problem.
Right.
And it's really by covering it with happiness and love, you're nurturing and you sit with it. If you remember, guys, when we had Dr. Epstein, sit with your problem. Actually, I think that's what Lionel is talking about.
Yes. You know, you were all bringing up such excellent points. And again, happiness isn't just looking at the good things in your life. It's really just as equally taking in the bad because they're both there. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the keys to, and we're not going to turn this into a philosophical discussion, but really I think it's all about how much do we need to suffer or how much are we willing to suffer. It's really about suffering. So when we get defensive, when we get upset, if we're in a pity party, are we suffering? And a lot of times we don't realize that we maybe, if we're mindful enough to see within, we may be, and I'm reluctant to say this, we may be responsible. We may be the cause of a great deal of that suffering. This is the key.
Or we could choose to spread it to other people, and that's also a choice. If I have a pity party, it's usually internal. Like I remember, you know, my son has an illness. It changed his life, and he never got the chance to go away to school. And that's not, he's 31. It's not going to happen. He's not going to go to school and live in the dorms. It's, you know, that experience is gone. That's just how it is. And we've accepted that. He's moved on to other things. There's been a lot of great stuff happening, as you guys know. But every once in a while, I will pull into a college for one reason or another to attend a meeting. And if it's like orientation day and I see the student ambassadors and I see the little freshmen walking around, I know if you're a freshman, you don't think you're little, but anyway, we do. And you're, yes. So, you know, these hopeful, and every once in a while, and I
there's a pinch.
There's a pinch. And I go, my son will never have that. I just sit with the problem. I go, yeah, that kind of is bad. That really isn't fair. Yeah, it's not fair. And then you know what? The more I accept it, the more it just goes away. Instead of trying to push, and yeah, that's not fair. And then you can go, oh, well, it is what it is. What can we do instead? So the pity party can be like just 2 seconds of accepting some sadness. Mm-hmm. That's appropriate. But I'm not going to walk into the meeting and go, oh, my God, I hate this place because my son never goes to go to school. That's when your pity party becomes poison to the people around you, and you don't want to be a toxic person. You just need to accept the full breadth of your own feelings. I'm sorry, Diane.
Well, no, that's okay. No, and, you know, and I'm listening. And so bringing the show back to the new year and staying on the path. And so you're choosing not to, you know, live with that pity for a long period of time. So that's
not
saying
well.
Accept it and move on.
But so Lionel, my question to you is, so whether your path is to be happier or your path is to feel less sorry for yourself or your path is to remain present, how do you stay on that path?
That's an excellent question. And I have an answer, believe it or not. I've been a very avid reader. I mean, I've read an awful lot of books. I have a lot of books in my basement. And so I don't say this as an ego statement. It's just that I've really been interested in it. It's like, what the heck is the answer to this dilemma where we find ourselves in, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, it really comes down to our thinking. And that's why meditation is about taking control and of our thinking. Mindfulness is about our thinking. And as I'm listening to everyone, I want to say that with all that reading I did, I found what I think is really the greatest book ever written on happiness. And frankly, it's free. On our website, you can go on happinessclub.com, go to the media section, and download a 60-page, you know, free of a book called Gateway to Happiness by Rabbi Zelig Pliskin. Now, of course, he's a rabbi. He's Jewish. I'm not Jewish, but I'm telling you, this is the best book ever written. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible book. And so chapter 2 deals with our thinking. And chapter 1 is happiness is an obligation. But the idea of our thinking, we don't realize how much of reality we set up as a function of how we're thinking right now. So, you know, the next moment in time is really the next step in what we're thinking. So that's why when I've taken back control within myself rather than trying to control others and being more accepting and forgiving and all of, or actually all of the qualities that are rather spiritual, they work to free me.
So okay. Give me, oh.
Can we just take a short break?
Definitely.
And yeah. Well, ask the question as a cliffhanger and we'll come back and get the answer. So
all right.
The question.
All right, Lionel. So when we come back, I want you to give me a very practical example of if my path is to be more forgiving, and the way I think about it, a very concrete example of how to do that.
Okay.
Wow.
That's coming.
That's a good
the
question.
Answer to that great question is coming in just a moment. Now we'll hear from Gabriel Tax and Accounting, exclusive sponsor this week of the Life Talk Show.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting and Computer Payroll Services, LLC, in business in Bridgeport for over 65 years, are proud sponsors of the Life Talk Show. Bookkeeping, payroll, tax planning, and tax preparation for all business sizes. Personal taxes, too. Come into 1297 Park Avenue for rates lower than any storefront. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Call Gabriel Tax Accounting today at 203-367-7731 for an appointment or visit GabrielTax.com.
And once again, we thank Gabriel Tax and Accounting for sponsoring the Life Talk Show today and next week as well on WDJZ Radio. So, Nikki, you've actually used Gabriel Tax and Accounting.
Yes.
And you brought them to us. You
oh,
love
yes.
them.
They're lovely. They're wonderful people, and they've been in business for over 65 years, and it's a family business, and you are comfortable asking any questions. They do my payroll for my business. They do my tax returns for the business. They do estate plan. They do everything.
And they'll do personal taxes as
personal
well. Personal
right? taxes, absolutely. And now it's the season, 1099s. They just do everything, and they're extremely affordable and very, very friendly. And they're right in Bridgeport, and they cover the whole Fairfield County.
That's
and
awesome.
Beyond.
Okay, so
and
if,
beyond.
If tax season makes you crazy or stressed, then call them.
That would be the place
for
people to call.
Services for individuals, business services, tax service. They'll even teach you QuickBooks. So go to GabrielTax.com.
The place to go for taxes.
We're here. This is the Life Talk Show, and we are here with our first show of 2014, and the topic is Finding Your Path in the New Year. Diana Hall, Nikki Tombolides, and I'm Randy Kay, and our special guest today, our friend Lionel Ketchian. So, Diana, repeat your question. And then Lionel will answer the question.
So a concrete example of how to stay on the path, your mindful way of thinking, that very specific thing you can do to help to achieve that.
Okay, we were talking about forgiveness. You brought up
sure.
So can I ask you to qualify what you mean by forgiveness? What's your idea of forgiveness?
Well, okay, so forgiveness to me, it's really pretty simple. When somebody does something that I think they've done to me, may not be the case, how do I forgive them? And I find for myself in particular, I'm not as forgiving a person as I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. And I blame it on the fact that I'm stubborn and Italian and all those things because I have to find a reason, don't I? But I'm not as forgiving as I should be. but I'd love to be. And that's one of those things that when the clock struck 12 midnight this year, my mom and I had a little thing that we went back and forth with over the year, and we said, let this next year be a great year. Mm-hmm. So finding forgiveness in that. So
can I, before Lionel answers, can I just interject for 1 second, because I want to quote in Lionel's newsletter a quote, and it relates very much to forgiveness. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Nelson Mandela.
That's very appropriate, as we just lost
Thanks,
him.
Nikki.
Lionel's quote.
It's great.
And the happiness.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, that is a great quote, and it really does. But let me ask you a question on this. When you're non-forgiving, are you hurting?
Absolutely.
You are.
Definitely.
So there's suffering going on.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say to you, and I'm not in a position to say it, but here's what I've realized for myself.
Sound like a therapist.
Well, no, I think it's just practical. It's self-suffering. We're creating that suffering by not letting something go. And by
self-inflicting,
self-inflicting, yeah.
Okay.
And what we're actually, a lot of work I've done with certain people, let's say they're going through a divorce, and mm-hmm. they're really, really
angry.
Angry, bitter, and afraid in a lot of things, mm-hmm. a lot of things, you know. But, you know, I get the feeling, I get the picture painted of where they are, and then they finally tell me what I'm picturing, and they're telling me they feel like they're in a prison.
Wow.
And by the
like
end
Nelson Mandela.
Like Nelson Mandela, exactly. And now, by the end of the work, and it doesn't take long because I'm very, very quick. I'm not a drama queen, you know, or drama king. But the thing is, that they finally say, you know what? I feel like I got that door open and I'm out and I'm not going back.
What do you say to them to make them open that
door? It's awareness, to realize that
awareness.
When you're forgiving someone, you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook.
So, concrete example, in your mind, you should say, I'm not forgiving them. I'm causing this pain on myself, self-inflicting that pain. I'm now aware that I'm causing pain to myself by not forgiving, right?
Yes.
If that works for you, great. I got a different approach.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my approach is, here I am, I'm fine, I'm status quo, I'm happy. You come along, you make me unhappy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm really unhappy because you made me unhappy.
Right.
So I'm going through life. You don't even realize that I'm unhappy with you, but you did something to me for 1 second. Now maybe I'll spend 20 years going through life upset mm-hmm. about that 1 second, right? And you don't even know it, mm-hmm. but I do. So the point is, if I was happy to begin, here's my theory. My theory is, what you really want is your happiness back. You can have it back in 1 second.
It's your choice.
There it is. Because it's not the issue. It's what you've given away.
All
you've
right.
given away your power.
I have a question again for Lionel. Now you can give us the therapy because I have a question.
But let's sink in.
I know. I'm still
this
thinking.
Very,
this
very powerful.
It,
so
it takes it another step with what the continuous of what they were talking about. It's what do you do when somebody you love hurts you continuously? Do you you say sit with it? You know. Deal with it. Don't be unhappy. Forgive them. But then you don't want that to continue. What do you do to stop that person from hurting you?
Can I throw something
in? Oh, please. Yeah, but I do have an answer for that.
Okay, and I do too.
Two therapists.
We two amateur therapists. We are
you
not therapists.
Are
but if you think you're being helped, the therapy is free.
the bonus listening to the lunch.
Please send your checks too. I used to travel around the country teaching stress reduction and anger management techniques. So this is, and I did a lot of reading to do that as well. And I just said, I'm just channeling learning that I've gotten from other people. And one of the most powerful things I learned is we teach other people every day how to treat us.
I love that. Yes, I really believe that.
Absolutely.
So forgiveness doesn't mean you forget what the person did. You know, my ex-husband had a lot of issues and ended up deserting the family and disappeared for 12 years. I chose to forgive him because I realized that he had his own issues that I was not in control over. When he came back into our lives briefly, I greeted him with an open heart, But when he said, can we get back together, my answer was, heck no, to right. myself. You know, I wasn't going to marry him again, but I also wasn't going, I did not spend those 12 years living in bitterness. That was my choice for me and for my children, because I didn't want my children to think their father was a bad man. He was not a bad man. He was a very well-intentioned man who just went down the wrong path. And so I was able to live with an open heart for 12 years. But that doesn't mean I would let him ever hurt us that way again.
So you didn't forget.
I didn't
you
forget. Forgive. But I did forgive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Lionel, so your answer.
You know, I think this stuff, because as soon as it happens, any aspect of forgiveness, it's in the past immediately. It's a second ago, a year ago, 20 years ago. Nelson Mandela, it was about staying out of prison after he was released. But I think it's, think of a music box, a clamshell, anything. There's an emotional turbulence there. You know, it's carried in memory. It's always going to be there. You're always going to remember that, you know. But the trick is to open it, release the negative emotion, and then when you carry it, you could still refer to it, but it hasn't got a sting to it that can hurt you.
Release the negative emotion to mm-hmm. that. Interesting.
Yeah, because that's... Okay. that's
it's like holding it in a way where you still have to have it. It's part of, your past, but it can't affect you.
Right.
Like you've been letting it. It's the hot potato. Let go of the hot potato, but in essence, you still got it, but it's no longer hot.
So again, going back to that word awareness that keeps sticking.
Yes.
So, but you have to have that awareness
yes.
that, okay, I am going to let it go. It has
exactly.
to be a conscious decision.
It does. And that's what happiness like is a conscious mm-hmm. decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, oh, everybody can, you know, everybody has free choice. Everybody can make choices. You know that's actually not true. You can only make the choice you're aware of. That's why mindfulness is so important, because if you're not aware, if you're suffering, you're less aware mm-hmm. that you can make certain choices.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about coming up to a more mindful, happy state of mind, because then you will make the most beautiful. And, you know, what's good for you is going to end up being good for others. It just works out like that.
Right.
So, you know, as you were all talking and what's the answer? And Nikki, you brought up, as soon as you said family, you rung the bell. That's a tough one for everybody,
sure
especially the holiday season.
Yes.
You know what the answer is? It's love. There is no other answer. Unless you could just go with love,
yeah.
you're always going to quibble, you're going to squabble, you're going to be right, you're going to be somebody's wrong. And there's no end to that. And people won't readjust, but you can't really fight.
Right. And, you know, someone used to tell me, you don't go to the hardware store for butter.
Right.
And that is something that has guided me, because, you know, look, we all have issues with, you know, that come from high expectations
mm-hmm. right.
that I think come straight out of 1950s sitcoms of
yes.
what a family should
okay,
have been like.
We're all blaming it on June Cleaver. Is that what we're saying here?
Well,
okay.
And, you know, it's June Cleaver. It's the Christmas commercials we just got finished watching
yes.
of happy yeah. families having
right.
perfect times. And look, families are flawed. That somebody said to me once, you know, if there were a plan to the universe, let's say there is, for
yeah,
argument's
exactly.
sake, maybe the universe's plan was to put you in that family so you learned how to forgive people that you might not ordinarily get to know. You know, we all have people in our family that we might not have chosen as friends, but because they're family, we have to learn to get along with them and forgive when we need to forgive and give up being right when we need to, and maybe that's kind of in the plan. I don't
right.
know, you know. But keeping expectations reasonable is a huge secret mm-hmm. of happiness. And I also want to say that let's clear up the myth. It's not about happy, happy, happy smile all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Optimists aren't always happy. They just know they're going to be happy again.
Right.
And I think since we're talking today about finding your path in the new year, I want to ask Lionel to explain how do we enjoy our path and to talk to us about CPR.
Ah.
His CPR, oh, your
okay.
CPR.
Good one, yeah.
Okay.
Continuous positive reinforcement,
yes,
is that it?
Yes,
okay.
Well, I think I'm changing it. I think I'm changing it to continued.
Continued. Okay.
Because if you don't start, you're not going to continue. You're going to start
right.
it. You know, so you can continued positive reinforcement. We all need it. And we have to find ways to do it. You know, one way to do that is to develop good, tiny, good habits. that's one of the things that's that is my path this year. It's a little different. I'm not one to – I haven't really learned to develop habits, but I'm learning something about it. I won't mention where I'm learning it from. I won't do any commercials about it.
Because that's the next book.
Yeah, yeah. But here's what
Read the book.
You know what
Read
I'm doing? I'm doing tiny little things. And it's a reactive thing. In other words, when I wake up, I will do this. And when I wake up, or when you brush your teeth, you start to interject the habit. And you got to make it very small. Like if you're going to do 50 push-ups, it's not going to work. But if you say I'll do one or two, that'll work.
That won't work for me.
Actually, I have a friend of mine that has a little sticker on the mirror in the morning when he gets up. It's like smile. Says to him
That's
to
it.
Smile.
And that works for him.
CPR.
Can I clear something up? Because I'm confused. So are we giving CPR? Are we receiving CPR from others? Are we giving CPR to ourselves?
I think all of that is true. All of it. We can give it to others. They certainly need it. We need it. And I think we need the reinforcement in whatever way. This show is CPR.
Continued positive reinforcement.
So, guys, continue listening.
Yeah, because
continue sponsoring.
You want to know something. It may be a small station, and maybe we reach around the world because people can access it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's true about this show that I think is true about this show? There's a lot of radio and TV shows out there, and they may be much better produced, more money spent and all that. But you know what? There's probably not a great deal that are more important than this show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
we
what
like
I think.
It. Thank you. And we're all three crazy. So
we're three crazy people. Three crazy people.
Three crazy people that work together and have fun with it. As Randy said and always says, that the purpose of this show is to share ideas for meaning, joy, and success, and conversations to enrich and empower your life. So that's
and it's our it's our guests that bring something new to the table every week.
Right.
Although we occasionally have a Just Us show, but I'm going to tell a little story about CPR.
Okay.
And when my now 31-year-old son was six, he went to school, and we were able to observe his. I think he visited the first grade, and it was just one of those days. It might have been near the end of the school year when he was visiting to see, and the kids were just wild. They were, I think Winter Festival was, something was happening. Mm-hmm. There was so much, and I watched her name was Mrs. Mahoney. Maloney? Anyway. But, she looked around at her crazed classroom, and she went, I really like the way Melissa is sitting right now, because Melissa was sitting down and coloring, and the other kids went, reinforcement.
Yes.
And she just said, oh, thank you, Melissa, for sitting so nice and quiet. And
she did
before
CPR.
She did CPR before you knew it.
Next,
and before you knew it, the kids were like, I want some of that CPR. And mm-hmm. and the whole class was quiet. She didn't have to yell at anybody.
She
just pointed
a
out
way.
the one right thing that was going on.
Teaching middle school for 22 years, I used that exact same tactic, and it was perfect. And that's and every kids and adults want that. And yeah, it's an amazing trip.
Yeah. So you can you do it on yourself or members of your family? It's harder with our family because it's more loaded. But
I actually do that, which is really funny. But you know what? Sometimes I will get from my two children when I do that.
Like be if careful I'll say, if they're listening.
Yes. Well, I'll say to my son Justin. Justin, I love how you make your bed every morning, hoping that my daughter Brittany will make her bed. But what I do get from my children is you just favor him.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't necessarily work even when it doesn't work one-on-one. It's better in a large group.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't work when you have two children and they feel like you're comparing them to
each
other.
Right, exactly.
So that might work to get Justin to make his bed more often.
Right.
But not to get your daughter to make
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
that's...
As we're going into this new year and the end of the show, I think another aspect that's really powerful and empowering, is to let go of the results. I mean, yes, results are important and all that, but if we let go of the results, we're more comfortable to really be effective because we're too stuck on failure and will I do well.
And what happened?
Instead of coming in here to the studio and saying, oh my God, I couldn't have spent the time in a better way in my whole life. This is just the greatest.
Right.
Why would you need anything less? How can it fail? That's the point.
Yes.
So let go of results. Whatever it is, it is.
beautiful.
And you can always make it better, but if you go in there with a hard attitude, you're going to hurt.
Yeah.
I want to share a quick story. I get a lot of emails and applications for clubs. I'm talking to people in Britain who are trying to, you know, get up to the British embassy and get this part of the, you know, the. I got an application from Mumbai in India. I mean, lots and lots of great. We just started a happiness club. The latest one was in Armenia, the first one in Armenia.
Oh, wow. That's
wonderful,
a big
results and all this. But I got an application from this young girl who's probably around 15 or 16 years old. And she writes to me and says, filled out the whole application, and it was endearing. And she says that life is hard, has been hard for her. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that when she lost her mother a couple of years ago, it became more difficult. And then her brother, who she loved, moved away at 18. And now she's alone with her, you know, she goes to high school, but she's alone with her father, who's got many issues, many problems, drinks too much, and is irrational, she puts it. Here's coming from a young kid. And she says,
out of mouth of babes.
And she says, and I live in a trailer with very little room. So imagine that picture for a moment. But then she says, she goes on to say, to write, that she had an experience where there was a few kids, friends of hers, they were in a car, they were kind of goofing off, just fooling around, and somebody started to make her laugh, you know, did a funny face or something. They were doing funny faces to each, and then she starts laughing, and she says she never laughed so hard and so long in her life. She laughed for 5 minutes. At the end of this time, she said, everything in her life changed. She never realized she could feel this way, that she could lighten up, feel good, and she's and so now
and the power of that
and the
moment.
Power of that, you know.
Wow.
And so she said, now I want to go to my high school and start a happiness club, and get everybody to laugh and enjoy life. And I said, wow, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard of.
Wow. I love that. And if you like that topic, we have an earlier show that we did a few months ago about the power of humor in life.
Right.
And that was one of our favorite shows.
Yes.
So you can always go to Podomatic and or to iTunes and do a search on the Life Talk Show and humor, and that podcast will show up. You can download it and listen to it. Our shows are available kind of forever for you to listen to.
Year round, 24/7.
We have about a couple of minutes left, so I think this is a good time to talk about the book, and then we're each going to go around and just share kind of a takeaway tip for finding our path in the new year. So, Lionel, we'll let you go last with your tip, but first tell us about the book you're writing and when we might be able to see it or find it.
Well, I'm co-authoring the book with a female lawyer who's working, Harvard grad, and she's a very interesting person. I think having an author that's a co-author who's a lawyer is very interesting, especially a sharp one.
Good writers,
looking at things, And it's just really great. And the title, it's going to change. I think it's going to, Being Happy is going to be the title. And we think we have an editor, Sarah Shapiro, who's the daughter of Norman Cousins.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
Wow.
Okay, so we have about a minute left, and this is a time to just, let's just quickly go around and final tips. I guess I'll start with mine, since mine's not on the paper, and I usually make it up on the spot. So mine is, you know, don't make yourself crazy this year with resolutions you won't keep. Just keep a focus in mind and forgive yourself as well as others. Diane?
Well, maybe this past year has had a lot of ups and downs. Maybe you're sad to see it go. Maybe not. What's more important than the year 2013 or 2014 is you. You are both the key master and gatekeeper of your own life.
Okay, Nikki?
My goal to leave this world knowing I made a change for the good, and I want to add quickly the bucket list from the movie, Find Joy in Your Life and Give Joy to Someone.
Okay, and Lionel, you have 10 seconds.
Okay, well, I think happiness is what you think, and it's of the mind, but love is of the heart. If we open both up, I think we're all better off. Try it. You'll love it.
And a wonderful, happy, healthy 2014 from the Life Talk
Show. All the best.
You've been listening to the Life Talk Show on WDJZ-AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.